Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jinnis.
Welcome to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. It's great to be able to go through our topic today, and actually it is a sequel, A Dog's Purpose, and this is part two. There seems to be so much appreciation, even from the spirit world, about dogs. Just so much information, we couldn't cover all of it. Judging by the amount of material that's still coming, there's going to be a part three, so hopefully you'll be able to connect to us there again. Before I get right into it, this episode is brought to you by Higher Self. It's a group of teachers, I'm one of them, to talk about the various ways that we can raise our vibrations on a constant basis. There's all kinds of ways that we can do it through yoga, tuning sessions if you come in, or if you get a reading from somebody, any kind of a way that you find insight that puts your perspective at a higher level. We do this through classes, whether it be through feng shui, whether it's healing through tuning forks that we use. We have singing bowls. We have various angel reading and angel tuning classes. And it's just a whole host of things that can keep our energy high. And podcast solutions made simple by Carl Richards. So let's get right into our topic, shall we? Dogs. Oh, aren't they so awesome? Like every time I think of my dog, Stella, I have a smile on my face. I've been like that for many, many years, many dogs that have gone through and all been so amazing. This week's color is red. So the red signifies renewal. That's the main theme for today, is a renewal of your energy, renewal of your beliefs, renewal of yourself in general. Once you thought something was really constant and never changing, all of a sudden has certain idiosyncrasies that isn't matching anymore. So in other words, you're renewing something. You're saying, okay, now this is me. You're evolving literally every day, every minute you're evolving. And so when people see you after 6 months, it's amazing the transformation that they'll see because you're doing it little at a time. And your dog has a lot to do with this. Cats as well, but mostly dogs, and we're going to be talking about in that way where we can really get the essence of what they are. You know, have you ever noticed that when dogs get only a portion of our life when they're around, but we get all of their life experience, right? It's amazing that there's a certain part where we are looking at what is the real purpose of dogs? You know, when the people that aren't really dog owners or they have a dog, they don't really do a lot of soulful trips with them. And that is fine. It's just that as our earth is starting to raise its vibration to so many things, we're seeing that there's a collapse of many things in government, in the medical field, and in the laws, and in just all the things that's happening. Things are starting to go back to the people. The power is coming back where people are deciding, and it's a very, very powerful energy where we are trying to find out really who we are and how powerful we really are. I have a full appreciation for that because I get clients when they come in and I see the effects of what other people are doing. And if that is really triggering you, they have so much power with you. And it's only when we realize that, okay, I'm going to renew myself and I don't have to take this anymore. I can speak up. And believe it or not, your dog has something to do with that shift. When a dog looks into your eyes, they release a special love chemical, as we know, as oxytocin. And it's the same mother frequency that a mother feels looking at their newborn baby. It's a very similar vibration. And they have that, and they can transfer it to our brain. So it happens that it's very, very similar. And it's like, what other animals do that? What animal really does that? Where their whole life is devoted to a completely different species, human beings. And what animal could do that? There's no way you could bring a rhino, or there's no way you could bring a hyena, or really anything in the home that will have any kind of devotion. They just don't do that. Okay, so why is it that they are just not always pets? Because they're not considered pets. Spirit doesn't look at a dog as a pet. We do. But when we get further into it, when we look at it from a deeper perspective, pets have a very, very deep connection to us. They are the bridge between two worlds, our world and the spirit world. Horses do the same. But dogs are with us every day because of their size. It's hard to have a horse going around the house, okay? But believe it or not, in a past life, if you had a horse, in many times we would have horses as a very close confidant. But when they are reincarnate or come into our existence, they come in as dogs because they're smarter, more portable. If you could put a dog in the back of a car, not always the same for a horse, right? Horses will be able to manifest themselves into dogs when they come in. This is why that a dog is so sensory, like they can feel an illness before it shows up for you, before a doctor can feel what there's something going on. The dog feels that. The dog also wakes up several minutes before you get a nightmare. Not sure if you knew that. The studies have shown that when an owner is seeing a horror movie and then goes right to sleep, they have a dog right beside them, and they're monitoring the person's brain waves, all right? And as soon as the brain waves hit a very high level, meaning they're having a nightmare, a couple of minutes before anything works out, the dog feels something's coming. The dog knows something's up. It's a couple of minutes before. How would they know that? How would they know that you're about to have a nightmare? They press their bodies against the exact places in your body that's sore, that's hurting. They don't just see a smile, they see your soul. When you smile at them, you know, they don't just look at that. They look at the energy or the exuding factors of what's coming out in that smile. Why would an animal, really, when you look at it, devote their whole life to us, humans? Because maybe there's something bigger in store for them. Maybe there's a bigger purpose of why they are here, because it really defies logic of survival. No other animal will devote their life to another species. They just don't. All the animal kingdom, they take care of their own. They go in their own groups. They make sure that their young is safe, to make sure that the group or the herd or whatever they are in groups are protecting the young, protecting the old, and that. But there's not one that is dedicated to helping us. There's obviously, well, maybe not obvious, but to me it's obvious that they're here for a bigger reason. Many ancient cultures speak of dogs as guardians between two worlds, between life and death. The life on our part is a death on the spirit part. As when an energy comes in, they leave the spirit world, which is for them the death, and they come into our life, which is we are celebrating. And then when there's a passing away or when there's a death on our end, for them, they are celebrating because someone's coming home. Someone's going back. So it's a very interesting dynamic. And dogs do that. When they are treated and when they are welcomed just as any other animal or species that goes in that area. When you're at your breaking point, when everything is so overwhelmingly stressed, it just seems like the whole world is against you. You know, your dog knows. Your dog knows something's up. Your dog can feel it. And all he can do is send you whatever love he can through its eyes. When people say the eyes are the portal to the soul, boy, oh boy, I can't think of a more accurate connotation for that. That is exactly what they do. There's no words. They don't have any advice. They have no reason. They just know. They just know something's up. So they want to remind you also that this is how unconditional love exists, because you have evidence of unconditional love through your pet. So remember the next time that your dog stares into your eyes and they are not just looking at you, they're looking after you. They want you to know that even though they may be sick or they may be unwell or they're at a point where they're hobbling along doing their best, they're still looking after us. How resilient of an animal is that? It's just amazing. The universe sounds like such a beautiful orchestration, and they only send the most important messages through their most humble messengers with fur. Human relationships itself, just from one human to the next, when we are socializing, and that's usually what we really want. When we went through a number of years ago where we were separated from our families in some places, and in some places they were all locked down and so on, But when we were doing that, that's one of the hardest things, when you couldn't visit your family or your friends, because we needed that socialization. And that socialization opens up about 147 neuro pathways in your brain. And when you don't have as much of that, it decreases those pathways. In other words, they're not as stimulated as they used to be. But a pet, a dog, activates the bond between an owner and the pet, activates 302 pathways, more than double of the pathways. And the reason being is because the pathways go deeper. When they look at you in a very real way, they know so much. And it's all in a look, when we look into their eyes like that. That's why when they decide to leave, 2 months feels like 2 years. When we lose a pet, it just feels like it's such a, why is it? It's just a dog, some people say. To them, maybe. As we're starting to know really why Spirit is sending these incredible furry creatures to us, the dog chooses their owner, even if it's adopted. Even if it's with another family and then they decide they don't want the dog, then they go to another owner, which happens to be you. That's all planned. That is absolutely all planned. There's no such thing as an accident where the dog came to you through an adoption or through somebody else, or the dog came to you through a stray. There's this one video I saw, very odd, and because I was looking at it whether it was fake or not, but it was this guy in a boat, literally 150 miles out in the ocean. And he's taking his boat, going fishing, whatever, and he sees this log in sort of bobbing, but it's really moving weird. He knows that the current is going one way, but this other log's going in the other direction. So he's going towards this thing to find out it's a dog in the middle of the ocean, pretty much. And he says, oh my God, where'd you come from? No ships, no debris, nothing. Just a dog floating in the middle of the ocean for whatever reason. If it was real, and I'm sure over time there's been cases where, you know, ships have gone down and dogs get out and there's nothing left and so on. But this guy picked up the dog and nursed it to health. And even those situations, Spirit is saying, is perfectly orchestrated. If you would have been literally 80, 90 feet in another direction, you wouldn't have seen the dog because of the waves and, you know, you're focused on one thing. But it had to be right in its path. You can't make that up. You can't. And the dog knows that it had to come to you for the rescue. So this is why that so many of us really are losing that instance of a dog when it creates those deeper neural pathways. Because there's a part of our brain that stores unlimited or an unconditional love. There's a part of your brain that holds that. But you know, very, very few humans get in there. Maybe a really nice grandmother that loved you no matter what, or a grade 3 teacher that saw your value when you were a kid and you were going through hard times at home, and she saw that you were struggling, and just out of sheer, you would like to stay after school, you could help me, you know, clean up the blackboard or whatever, and just talk to you. I had a few people like that, that they're great, and I don't know what it is about grade 3. I had two people right almost back to back to say, my grade 3 teacher, she was amazing. So I don't know what the deal is with grade 3, okay? But whatever it is, thank you to all those teachers that lend a hand to a kid that is losing its way. It's really hard when you're being ignored at home and then your schooling isn't any better. You know, you're in quiet, you're rolled in the corner, you're eating your lunch by yourself. And then somebody sees this and decides they want to have a relationship with you of any kind. You know, they're not asking for anything. And so it's those spaces in your brain that unconditional love are stored in. So there are some humans that get in there, but mostly it's dogs. Unconditional love. If you remember a dog you had years ago, chances are that dog is in that area. That's why you remember it so much and all the joy that it gave you. Because here's the one thing. Dogs like that, that really touch your soul, they also touch your heart and anything around it, including your lungs. So they find when a pet passes away, that dog owners that connect do have a hard time in breathing. And this is why. Because it's almost pulling the strings of your heart And your lungs are right there sharing that same space in your heart chakra. And so this is why a lot of people have problem in breathing. So it's not something that is happening because they're anxious, or they're, some people say, well, you're a very anxious person, or, you know, you have a lot of anxiety. Well, that's a sort of a cheap way to get around what's really going on. But when you understand why that person is having that issue, you start to realize that there's something more to it. Because the reason that you're having that reaction is because this was the only soul that took you in without you having to prove anything, without you having to sell yourself, or without you having to earn anything. You didn't have to earn a dog's love. It was in their soul and vice versa. So it was all done so seamless, so easy. You didn't have to prove anything. And that's why when we spend so much time from other people, when they say something, when they do something, oh, we have to prove that we're a good person, that people will say something on social media, oh, you're just doing it for the socialism or the socialization, or just to create likes or something, you know. When people do that, we right away, we want to defend ourselves or justify ourselves. No, don't do that anymore. Don't do that anymore, because it is not needed. Because no matter what you say, whatever it is, they won't be convinced. They don't show up to be convinced. They don't show up to buy your sense of worthiness and whatever you're going to say. So don't bother. These are people that aren't really worth it in that way. Another thing, when you leave a house, some people will say, well, you know, I got a pretty good dog. You know, I can leave a house in a few hours, or I come back in 8-10 hours after work and so on. Dog is so happy to see me, you know, and it's like it's been 8 hours. So the dog is good for 8 hours or 9 hours or 5 hours or whatever it is. But, you know, dogs don't look at time the same way that we do. Their sense of timing is much different than the way we have been led to believe. They don't track the minutes. They don't track the hours or anything. But what they do track is that your absence, your essence starts to fade in the room. Your scent starts to fade, because, you know, dog, they look at everything as a scent. When they pick up a scent, they know what you smell like. They know your essence. They know who you are. So when you leave, it's fairly potent at the time you leave. And over the passing several hours, the scent starts to dissipate. It starts to dwindle a little bit. And that's how they tell the time, is how much of that essence is still around. This is why some dogs like to chew on slippers or your shirt, or you have a house coat next to your sofa or something, or some blanket that you always leaning up against, because that still has your scent on it. So they tend to really congregate where your pillows are, where you will normally sit, and they might sit or lie right on the spot while you're gone, right? And that's because that's where you're the strongest in terms of that scent. It starts breaking down after several hours. So this is why when we look at the way humans look at it, we use our time with our prefrontal cortex. You know, it's very logistical. This is how many minutes have gone by, and that's how we sort of tell time. With our dogs, it's mainly through their rhythm. There's a certain rhythm in their body. There's a certain, what they call the circadian rhythm and patterns that they're used to. When they connect to those things, that's how they know, oh, it's supper time. It's time for a walk. I mean, if you took your dog for a walk at 10:35 every morning, at 10:35, they're looking at you, it's time for a walk. How would you know? Let's say something happens at 10:30 and you can't do it then, but at 10:35, you're out the door. At 10:35, your dog has the leash in his mouth. How would they know? It's a certain rhythm. It's not the fact they look at it with the sun, but the vibration. Everything comes out of them through their sensory perceptions. So this is how they do all these things through the daily means that we're doing it. So their reaction also is different when they have a stronger bond with you. So the stronger the bond between the two of you, the more pronounced and the more reaction you're going to get when the dog comes to you after an 8-hour day. There were a couple of times where we got late and then we had to go to another function and I didn't get home for like about 11 hours. And Stella was just lying there and I says, okay, well, if she's made a mess somewhere, I understand. I mean, this is totally fine because I would totally understand. I get home and she's just overwhelmingly happy. And he says, you want to go out? And I'm looking all over the house and there's nothing. She held it for the whole day. And this is not something I taught her. It's something that she knows that would upset one of us, right? So she just finds a way to hold on. Now, it's not always like that. There's always somebody home in this case. Like I do a lot of work at home. 90% of the work I do is at home. So she can come down anytime and I can pet her head and she knows it's easily retrievable. But it is so nice to see that there's a commitment on the side of that dog. I had asked Spirit to send me something special. Whenever I do shows like this, I always like to leave people with something special. So I says, what do you got for me, Spirit? So within literally 2 or 3 minutes, I get to go onto a few sites and then I came onto this poem. It's a dog's poem. And I want to read it to you. It starts off by saying, I know I don't run as fast as I used to. I know my legs shake when I try to stand. I know my fur isn't as shiny as it used to be. My eyes not as bright. But I still see you. I still feel you. I still love you the way I always have. I may not hear you calling my name as much, as clearly anymore, but I know the sound of your footsteps, and I will always turn my head when you walk into the room. I may sleep more, move slower, but I will always still follow you, even if it takes me a little longer. I know my time is shorter now. I know you see me, and I know you see it too. I can feel it in the way you hold me, just a little tighter. In the way your fingers linger when you pet me. In the way you whisper, I love you. Like you're afraid I'll slip away before you get to say it again. But please don't stop loving me, because I'm old. Don't stop holding me. Talk to me. Let me sit beside you like I always have. I don't know how much time we have left, but I do know this. Every single moment with you has been my whole world. And until my very last breath, I will love you just as fiercely as the day you brought me home. Because to me, you were never just an owner. You were my person, my home, my everything. And I will always be yours when I'm gone. In this meditation that I picked out for you guys, we're going to be playing the nature meditation. And on it has many animals, including dogs and families of dogs. And what I want you to do is, if you have a pet in front of you, I want you to see if you can bring it up, hold its head, and look into its eyes. Now, there are many different reasons why the dog may not let you do this for an extended period of time, because there's either distractions going on or the different things that are going on in your home, and that's fine. If that doesn't work, it's okay. But you can envision looking into a dog's eye and just stare into it. You know what your dogs look like. You stare into its eyes. And what Spirit is saying, in this meditation, the tuning forks in the background will help you along the way to be able to connect to those eyes in a totally different way. And everyone will get something different. Everyone will get something that they need at this time to get their human peace met in some way. The start of something. Maybe the ending of something. Either way, it's going to be something that you're going to be able to connect to. So take a deep breath, breathe in the color red This beautiful fire engine red, this renewing root chakra, this deep energy. This is a tribal color. This is a color that your ancestors had when they were around a fire. They had bare feet on the ground, rooted. And this is where it's all coming in. So I want you to take a nice deep breath of this fire engine red energy and then be able to breathe out red, breathe in red. Pretend you're either in a meadow of poppies or red roses or whatever that vibrates to you that is red. Just keep breathing in this color red, the essence, and see what comes out of there. There's something in there for all of us. It's not just eyes. Look deeper and deeper and deeper, and then actually go right in and see what this messenger, this dog, even if it's in energetic form or if it's no longer with us, it will still work. Just look into its eyes and it will deliver you something.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You can also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.